If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. Words can't express what I feel, and I pray that you see my heart in this. I was thinking John's going to say, after we finish this, we're going to say prayer and go home. But I want to preach something tonight, or at least teach. I don't know if it'll be exactly preaching as much, but I think it'll be a blessing that God has certainly proven to me, and is doing more so now than ever in my life. And that's here as I look at my text. Now, when I start reading Malachi 3, verse 10, first thing you're going to think of is the tithe. That's not going to be the message tonight. But I want you to notice in verse 10, and before we read, let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for this book. I thank you for letting us be at a place that we were brought up to believe this to be the Word of God. I thank you, Father, there was no teaching in the sense to try to break down a wall that was built up about this in the early years of our Christian life. We still believe it was, it is, and always will be the absolute Word of God. And so now we open this precious book again. And we ask you to give us illumination, understanding, pray anointing the Spirit of God, and maybe some heart be helped here tonight. Thank these for coming back to the house of God on this night. Dear Lord, after a long day we've had, and I pray we'll be a blessing to each one here. Never let this be a waste of time as we assemble to worship you and to hear from your word. Anoint this vessel that I may be a blessing, in turn honor you as we honor the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I see in verse 10, if you look with me, he said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Then he tells us why, that there may be meat in my house. Then he tells us why. He says, and prove me, notice now. Don't think about it for the future. Don't argue about it. Don't debate about it. Prove me now, herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Prove me now, I believe I can say, as I read verse 11, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. That means the weather would be just right, so that things that happen according to the laws of God won't happen early and all of a sudden come a frost and destroy them. We understand that has happened around our vicinity many times. And he goes on, he said, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me. Now he said, prove me, these are things that I do. Now he comes back with an indictment. He said to Israel, your words have been a stout against me, saith the Lord. Maybe they wonder how. How could this be? How could we be that would be against you or disbelieve you or doubt you? Where have we done that at? No doubt that most of the time we cannot evaluate ourselves when it comes to things that God says we have done that dishonors him. And Israel is saying the same thing. Lord said, yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? What have we said? What have we done against thee, Lord? Aren't we not serving you? We believe the God of this universe. We believe in the true and living God. Where is it that we have not been serving you? In verse 14, he answers, ye have said, it's vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? What have we gained to keep his ordinance? He said that we will walk mournfully before the Lord of hosts. What have we accomplished by walking many times tearfully, mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. He says, yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Because they say it's vain to serve God, yet they still have their religious little rituals going on. They said that we profit. What profit is it to keep his orders? Why should we obey him? What do we get out of it? Where's the end results at? How can we see we're any better off by listening to what God has to say? He said that we should walk mournfully. He said, now we call the proud happy. When you get in the state of verse 14, you begin to look at those who are proud, away from God, maybe not so bad off after all. And he says that they work wickedness are set up. When you have that pride, you begin to set people up who are evil, working, but yet they're noted by man. They're given the highest places for man. They're given credit by man because they're able to do something in the secular world, even though they left God out. And he goes on, he said again that yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Why, those who even test God and be against some of the things, it looks like they're the ones who get delivered. They're the one who has the silver spoon. They're the one who get the best job. They're the one who has the best health at times. I like what Brother Greg said this morning about Noah's wife, don't you? You know what she said? Or was it Moses? No, it was Noah's wife. Talking about being in a majority. And he said, well, which side of the flood you're talking about? Amen. That's a good clue, because right now the world thinks they're in the majority, and the majority rules. No, God rules. And God rules, and their day will come when they will not be in the majority. Though they be majority in number, they won't be in the majority in power. Then he said in verse 16, watch this, I love this. Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. Those that feared the Lord found someone to like faith and share it with them. In trouble, their heart breaking, the conditions they were in. They went and maybe asked for prayer, if I'd look at it in our day, and say, I'm in a hard place now. Here's what's happened. I've been through this test, through this trial. Here's where I'm at. And they share with someone else and wonder, even at times, if they pray to God, did he hear? And yet God says, I hear when you just share it with someone else. You know, it'll be someone like faith. It'll be someone you know that you can trust in. You don't share your situation with everybody. Did you hear what I said? You do not share your situation with everybody, because everybody don't want to be the person to help. A gossiper is someone you should never share anything with, because that destroys. But he says here, I spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. I like that. And he said, and a book he heard it. Now watch this. This is a blessing. There's never been a prayer that I prayed that seemingly God hasn't answered, that he will answer it one day. He says there's a book of remembrance been written by him. And he tells us about it. A book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name. He said, I want you to know nothing goes by. Everything that happens to you, I know about it. And I want you to know, it might be you cry out and you don't think that I hear because I don't respond at a demand sometimes. But I want you to know I hear everything goes on. I know where you're at. I know what you're suffering. I know what you feel. And though it doesn't seem like a deliverance at that moment, there's a book of remembrance been made. And one day they'll come up before me. And when you do stand before me, this will be there for you. And he said, they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then, I like that. Then, maybe not when it happened, maybe not that moment, maybe not that year, maybe not that decade, but then there's a time coming. Then there's some things going to happen. And he said, shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Now go back to verse 10 with me. My topic is prove me now. God says, prove me now. Prove me now. The word prove means don't do your part. When I tell you something, do your part, perform your duty, and see what I will do at your obedience. Prove me now. I've told you what to do. Prove me now. I've laid out the foundation for you. Prove me now. Prove me now. And when you do that, when I say do it, you will see what I can and will do. Now, it's interesting because there are some ways at times he says do that. Other times, some things are conditional. Some things are not conditional. According to the laws of our country, no man can be condemned until his guilty is proven. That's the way it's supposed to be. But I'll tell you, in courts of law, Christians many times are condemned before they ever go in there. The law protects at times, and if you got money that you can pay enough lawyers to find a loophole somewhere or another. But for Christians, it's getting worse and worse in the laws of the land. But to God's children, he's writing to Israel here. By the way, what he told Israel just is real for us too, because you and I improve God just as much as Israel could. To God's children, he says, prove me. Why doubt me? Prove me. Have you anything against me? They said, Lord, we do in verse 14. I mean, it's vain to serve God sometimes. It just seems like it's vain. By the way, you and I have probably been in that place sometimes. Why would this happen? All the thing I've done is give my life to the Lord. The only thing I've done is try to serve God, to do what is right. In this transaction, I did what was right. Look what has happened. God, it doesn't seem like it's worth to serve you. That's where Israel is at. By the way, Satan has a way of manipulating time to cause God's people to feel that way sometimes. He knows God doesn't answer the prayer every time you and I pray. He not spontaneous does it every time. In his mind, he's always in the now. So whenever he answers, he's in the now. But for us, it may be delayed because we learn by faith to walk by faith in the worst conditions of life. One of the most amazing things I've ever seen in the 48 years of serving God is that my faith comes stronger when I get in rough places than it is when I have easy places. Now, you can't explain that. I can't explain that other than the fact I know it's a true fact. You can prove God more in rough places than you can sometimes when things are going well. Because that's the era where things are going well, just seems like something God's supposed to do and did do, or we helped him out by something we did. But you come to a place sometimes in life that you know you didn't have anything to do with it because you couldn't, and God must have done it when he did it because he's the only one who could have done it. And when you come out, your faith is stronger than it was before you went into that. Prove me now, have you found me dishonorable? God would say, prove me now. Have you found me a failure? Have you found me falsifying information? Just the fact I'm trying to trick you? Absolutely not. It seems that when we're in trouble, we believe the devil before we believe God. But it's not to be that way. Sometimes, even a child of God can get to the place and say, you know, the devil will come along and say, you know, God don't really love you. If he did, you wouldn't be facing this. You're standing by a child in a casket fixing to put in the ground. Boy, that's a very good fertile ground for Satan to come and give a lie that God don't love you. Don't tell me he loved you before you had the child. He loved you during the child. He loves you after the child is gone. Whether it be a husband, a wife, or a friend, whatever it may be, it makes no difference. God still loves us. Circumstances in life don't cause God to cease to love us in this life. And so it may seem that we were in trouble, but we believe the devil more than we believe God. It shouldn't be that way. If God doesn't do something or bring something to pass when we anticipate it, God is teaching us, don't doubt me because of a delay. Just keep in mind, prove me. And sometimes you don't get an answer. God, I've done my best to prove you. Now I'm waiting on the answer. I'm not going to be impatient. I'm going to ask you to give me what is needed and greeted so it comes either now and in heaven one day. But I want to have you to know how I feel, and I'm glad my Father lets me do that. I want you to know how I come to you as a child, because that's all I am. I'm like a little baby that's just learning to walk good, and I come to my Heavenly Father to lay out things to Him. And He says, prove me. And many times we have to do just that. Prove me if you think my grace is not sweet. Prove me if you are suspicious of my word. Prove me if you think that I'm not the rock for you to build upon. And by the way, that's where faith comes from. I'll tell you this. When you go through something in your life and God develops your faith, you'll have a rock more solid than you would if you had things went well sometimes. There's a tendency to feel when things are going well that we don't forget God, but in actions we do. We don't agonize when things go well. You don't ask for a lot of prayer when things go well, but I let you get in a valley. Let you get in a hard place somewhere or another, and nothing seems to work, and we'll be calling everybody to pray for us. And you'll find when you come out, you're on solid ground. Your faith is settled now. There's no way that Satan can trick you when your faith is settled. But when you have things going well, something's lost all of a sudden, Satan come along and say, hey, see, you're not right with God. You just lost that. Well, one thing is for sure, when things are in rough places, and you have your eyes on the Lord, you know if He doesn't do it, it can't be done. And Lord, you're willing. Lord, I'm willing to do everything I can, but I've got to depend upon you. And when you come through a trial, your faith will be much stronger than it would be without that particular trial. Prove me if you think that my arm is not strong enough to save. Prove me if you think my ear is so full that I cannot hear. Do not doubt me until you have found me unworthy to trust me. Do not doubt me till you find that you can't trust me. And you will never get to the place that you can't trust me. You may think you can't, but you can continue trust me, which wherever you're at, whatever you're involved in, you can continue to trust me. I was reading a wonderful story, a true story. I tell my wife this afternoon or yesterday when we was going together. It's happened in Russia. And they said that in Russia even today, there's not really open worship God like we can here, even though they do have, quote, religious services. But this is an underground church where people went to, and they said that when they went, they couldn't go in groves. They had to filter in because the KGB would find anything about it because they'd go into these places. And they'd have people travel for miles, sometimes walking, and filter into the church. Start early in the morning, filter into the church in little groups at a time. And then they have a worship service, and when they left, they'd have to filter out little groups at a time. So they wouldn't draw attention about a mass movement of about 100 people or so in assembly. And one time they just got into a service, and in walked two KGB men with automatic rifles. And they burst the door open, and they said, "All right, anyone here right now, if you leave, you recant that you believe in Jesus Christ and you can live." Some of the people got up and went out. And so they waited a few moments, and he said, "Do you hear what I said? Is there anyone else left in this crowd? If you walk out those doors, it means you recant your faith in Jesus Christ, and by doing so, you can live." And a few more got up and went out, maybe half of the group or less. And then the men walked down the aisle and said, "Anybody else swinging those automatic rifles around?" Nobody else moved, but families got together with their families trembling, afraid they're going to be killed right there in that church. And said the two men walked back to the back and locked the doors and turned around and said, "All right, raise your hands and praise God." And they said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Listen, we were KGB officers. A year to two years ago, we were in a service, got saved, and we realized that when we come to a service like this, that the KGB has men and women who are in services trying to find these places like this so they can report you to destroy you. And we knew if we came in here and said that to anybody left, they didn't really have what God had wanted them to have." And said they had the greatest service they ever had in that little church that day when you got all that crowd out who just walked out because they, you know, afraid they're going to get shot. You've got to have more than just religion to set in a situation like that. Only Jesus Christ can cause a person to sit there and say, "Hey, this may be it. This may be it. This may be the time, if they knew about it, they put me in Fox's Book of Martyrs at that time." So there's four things I want to give you quickly about proving God. First of all, it's a fact, and I'm going to go through it fast. It is a challenge. There's a time. And also, number four, it is an argument suggested that should not be because we should do it because God says for do it. First of all, let's look at proving the fact. Proving God is a fact. He says, "Do it now." God allows himself to be proved. Isn't that amazing? God doesn't have to do that, but he allows us to prove him. Isn't it wonderful how God, who's so much beyond us, comes to our level and lets us operate in a way that we can understand. I understand being tested to see where things are true or not. We don't believe it just because he's God, but none of us arrive that much in everything. No, it's easy to believe some things and not believe others. First time something gets us in a bind somewhere or another, it's easy to say, "Well, I believe that, but God may not mean it just like this and do it another way." The works of creation proves him as the sustainer of all. Everything that's in motion, it amazes me. And just this week, looking again, if you look at the History Channel the last few weeks, they're talking about the end of the world destruction and how it's a possibility. Had 10 different ways now we know the world could be destroyed. They came down the countdown the other day. And they're talking about how things work in creation. I'm talking about the inanimate creation that God made. They're on a timetable. They work by God's laws. They're just as precise, more precise than anything that man can make. And they're working today like they did when God started it many thousand years ago. Nothing changes except a few things explode and others come up and things like that. So the work of creation proves him sustainer of all. The sun, the moon, the gnat, the animal, you and I look into the mirror. Storms that are created teaches God's world reverence. It amazes me. A man be cussing you God's name in vain. Let a few lightnings pop around, a storm come out, and he'll get quiet. It's why there's a fear that's there. There's a fear there. You face things you can't conquer yourself. Creation proving wisdom and love and kindness and grace. It's amazing to me. I thought that looking at the Nature Channel the other day, lions, how vicious they are. They attack an animal and just tear them apart. And then they have a little cub, and it's the sweetest thing you've ever seen. Just as kind. Just ferocious. He wouldn't treat us that way, but that just as kind. In fact, they treat their offspring, little cubs, better than we would treat them if we had them. A big ape has a little teeny thing. You'd be afraid to take him, tackle him in any form or fashion, be around him, and yet he has a little teeny small ape, I guess you'd call him. You can't hardly hold in your hand, some of them. So small, like the pansy bear, I think it is. And look how tender that big, huge animal is. Isn't it amazing? God creates a tender side to all that which is creation, along with an aggressive side. God's creation proves God by just existing. No effort. Hey, there's no effort what's going on out there in space. It just works according to God's laws. I'm working on a message now on creation. It's going to enjoy it. It'll be shown on the screen some of the things when I get through with it. Most of God's creation is inanimate. That is, it has no mind, no thought, but it still proves God. How, preacher? Because they're moving just like God said they were to move when he put them in space. They're working precise on time. You can set your clock. You can set your clock. You can set your clock. If it's off, you can set your clock. God's earth moves on time, all the time. But saints, we do it literally intentionally. We prove God. Unsaved people prove him by unintentionally. What they do many times in life, as a matter of fact, they're able to get up and go about the business in the morning. An unsaved person proved that God exists. Without him, they couldn't do it. They couldn't have the air to breathe. God hadn't made it. And what good is the air if they didn't have the lungs to breathe it? So I'm saying proving God is a fact in our lives. God's people are sent in this world to prove some part of God's divine character. Sometimes it's in a hard place. And here most of us have someone to talk to. But ladies and gentlemen, beware of a gossiper. I'll tell you this, I'm so glad I learned. Well, I had people sometimes say, you know, preacher, if any time you want to come, talk to him, fine. But I'll tell you this, I found this out. If something gets to the place I have to talk to someone, there's no one better than God. But if I don't understand, he hears me, even when I don't have an answer, I'd be afraid to wonder if he hears me. I've got news for you. He hears you. He always hears you. He always hears me. Sometimes it's in the valley of ease. We need to prove God. Sometimes it's in the trials and troubles. Sometimes it's in physical sickness. Sometimes some are born to prove the power and majesty of the Lord, just like that God works should be manifest. Like you see in John chapter 9 and verse 3. The man that was born blind from birth was born. And Jesus tells us that he was born that God's work should be manifested in him when Jesus came upon the scene. The only reason that young man was blind, so that God's work in Christ when he approved and approached on the scene could be seen. God's works could be manifested. Isn't that interesting? By the way, same with you and I. Whatever God leads us to do is to manifest his works in this life so that others can see it. God allows his children to prove him. So proving God is a fact. Second thing, proving God is a challenge. Prove me now, he says here. You who doubt me, prove me. You who are afraid, prove me. You who are troubled, prove me. You who are unfaithful, prove me. You who are not in my will, prove me. And see if I will not do what I said that I would do. God's word set forth three kinds of promises as we prove him. There's a conditional promise all through the scriptures in some places. The conditional promise is given under certain conditions. Then there's future promises that God gives us in his word are proven. And we have to wait. It'll happen sometime in the future. While we're waiting, we have to trust him by faith. And then there's unconditional promises that God puts no condition at all upon them except the fact you believe what he said. And go from that situation. For instance, look at the condition of promise. He says, ask and you will receive in John 15:7. You fulfill the condition before the benefit. In other words, you fulfill the condition before God gives the benefit. You know the benefit's there, but you fulfill the condition. It's like I said, talking about faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. If you don't have anything to hope for, you have no faith. Faith is the bridge towards that which you have hope. It's the object that you look to. It is that thing which you look at in turn to obtain. Faith is kind of like the economy of God. Without you can't please him. Notice this in Hebrews. Without faith, you can't please God. Who is to please? He didn't say without faith, you couldn't please yourself. He says without faith, you can't please God. It's God who says if you don't have faith, there's no pleasing to me. Faith is the settlement that gets us to what that God has to offer. And he tells us a lot of ways how faith is developed in this particular life. Again, you fulfill the condition before the benefit. We test God's promise by complying to the stipulation. Bring your tithes into the storehouse, Malachi 3:10. You cannot prove God to this promise until you fulfill the condition that God has given under that circumstance. That's a conditional situation. The tithe must be brought. Look unto me and be saved. Call upon me and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever call upon Jesus in Romans 10:13. You have to look and call to get the benefit of salvation. Salvation can benefit this whole world potentially, but it only benefits those who actually believe. That's no way to get it. Potentially, Jesus could save the whole world. And the Arminians sometimes say in the end they're going to get saved. But wait a minute. If that be the case, there'd be no need to believe. So here we see it actually takes place potentially for the world, but it only takes place to those who believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, you look and you call to get the benefit of salvation. Then there's future promises. We talk about proving God. These cannot be fully proven at this time, but they're accepted by faith. Why? Because the God who spoke about them, we know, keeps His word. He's always there. He's in the now, even though we divide our lives up in time. You say, what are you talking about? Look at the return of Christ. You can't prove the return of Christ. There's nothing at all that you can see other than the fact that Jesus said He's coming back. And you believe that. That's future. It hadn't happened yet. So by faith, that's our goal. I'm looking for the return of Christ. That's my goal. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Because of faith in that, I know God will keep His word. It's going to happen. The evidence is already there. The world says, show me evidence. I don't need any more other than the fact now that God promised it. And by faith, it's my ladder to it. It's my way to get to that, which is the hope that God has given us in our heart, since He is our hope, the Bible tells us, in this life. So look at me and be saved. Call upon me. In the future, Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. A crown of righteousness is laid up in that day. How can I prove such? By trusting and patiently waiting for each one of those to be fulfilled and knowing if God said it, it's so. I can prove enough about unconditional situation that what God says is true. So anything for the future, I can claim that promise too by faith. Once I walk through faith here and see it fulfilled, no longer is it here in this life. Faith, it's seen by sight. And same thing, I know. One day what I look for the future that God has promised is by faith now, but one day I'm going to see it by sight. Once you see it by sight and you accomplish it, you need no more faith. Hey, if you're looking for a job and you say, dear Lord, help me get a job. I got faith, I'll have a job. Once you get a job, you don't need no more faith to find a job. That's simple, isn't it? So I don't want a better job. Well, that's a different type of faith. That's a different goal. When you're looking a job, you're not saying I'm looking for a better job. You don't have a job, so you got to just, a job is a job. Amen? That's the way it is in that. When you find yourself, when something is accomplished, which is that hope at the end of that faith, then there's no, you've seen it. And same way with God, those things for the future will be accomplished one day, and we'll see that at that particular time. It will be fulfilled. By trusting and patient waiting for each one to be fulfilled. Then there's absolute unconditional faith, a promise. We must believe these by faith, the unconditional promise. And there are some, by the way. To try to fulfill a condition that God has set forth that has no condition is literally not accepted by God. I proved that to you last week when we talked about Hagar. Abram and Sarah had been promised a son, and they're going to have a nation. And as they waited and waited and waited, nothing happened. And so Sarah, being the woman she was, evidently said, well, God, to Abram, we're supposed to have a son. Had had one. God's going to make a nation of us. And since so many years had gone by, you know the story last week, looked into it. I tell you what, how about my handmaid I got out of Egypt? You know what they're trying to do? Help God do something to be conditional that's unconditional. There's no way that anything that Abram or Sarah could do other than what God does through them to bring the promise seed that bring Christ later. Unconditional. You can't do anything to help God in that which is unconditional. Only God can do it. He may use you at a certain time, but it's that way. Sarah and Abram could go to many handmaids that Sarah had. It wouldn't help one bit for the promise seed that God gave to Abraham later, which is named Abraham, for the promise seed to make a nation where the Messiah would come. God had that already planned out. So when you and I get to a place sometime and think we can help God do something that is unconditional, we can't help a thing. We just have to believe. We have to believe God's going to take care of that, you see. Absolute unconditional promise. No condition is attached whatsoever. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's unconditional. If you come to Christ, he says, I'll not cast you out. How can you lose your salvation then? Because once he casts you out for something, then that's conditional rather than unconditional. You see, the unconditional part is that when you trusted Christ as your Savior, then you came into that which came a conditional part, I should say. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, you came into that which is unconditional, that God says, when you become a child of mine, I will save you and never cast you out. As a matter of fact, he says, unconditionally, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't that wonderful? Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you something. If God said that, and he did, according to what we find in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, if God said that, and you and I trust Christ as Savior, and then suddenly he leaves us, then what he said is not unconditional. Because we were able to do something conditional-wise to change his mind about something. So I say to you again, absolute unconditional promises. Him that cometh to me, I'll no wise cast out. I'll never leave thee forsake thee. Conditional and future promises cheer the soul. They are absolutely joy to the soul. But absolute promises are the rock that faith delights to stand upon. That's what settles us. The fact that God does not change settles us. It keeps us straight in our faith. It keeps us straight in our going, and the Word of God becomes, as he said so many times, what a light to my path, a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path. These absolute promises. He said, let there be light. And God's Word was fulfilled. Romans 10:9-10, thou shalt confess in thy mouth the Lord Jesus, by thy heart God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God's Word is fulfilled. God gives people the invitation to prove him at his promises, proving God's a fact, proving God's a challenge. Number three, proving God has a time and a season. He said, here now. Prove me now. The most perilous times in our life is now. Now. Prove me now. His promises are given to us in time, place, and manner, which he designates for us to be faced with. Tomorrow, not tomorrow. Yesterday, not yesterday. Don't prove me tomorrow. Don't prove me based on yesterday. Yesterday can be influenced to let you know that I keep my word. But prove me now. Prove me right now. At this moment. You in a storm? Prove me. Is your ship filling with water? Prove me. Are you breaking up on the rock? Prove me. Have you lost hope? Prove me now. Prove me now. That's what he's telling us to do. As much so to us as the nation of Israel. Prove me before blasphemers. Prove me before reprobates. Prove me before the vilest of vilest and the filthiest of the filthy. Are you weak? Prove me. Are you strong? Prove me. Are you afraid? Prove me. Are you insecure? Prove me now. See what I'll do for you. He's not just talking about this. This is talking tithe here, but he's not talking about just tithe. It goes across the board, you see. And so not only God proving God is a fact, it's a challenge, but it's also there's a time, a season for it. And then the last one, number four, proving God, the argument in proving God. Why should we prove God? After all, why would a God who he is, the great I am that he is, say, hey, to you and I, prove me. Prove me. Why would he say something like that? I'll tell you why. It honors and glorifies him when we prove him and he keeps his word. First of all, listen to me. The fact that God says prove him and we do shows we believe him. Anytime we believe God, it honors and glorifies him. And here's a case where he said, prove me, see what I do. When you do that, it honors me that you would obey me and believe what I said about a situation in life that you're faced in. To stagger not at his promise through unbelief exalts him. George Mueller proved God. He had nothing but God's provided food for his orphan. And the sinner, he that it calls on his name shall be saved. Proves God when they reach out by faith. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thou shalt confess in thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart God raised him dead, thou shalt be saved. When you do that, you prove God. It honors and glorifies God that one believes God at his word and will respond to that, you see. Today, we look in life here. Don't argue with him. Just trust him. Just trust him. Believe on Jesus Christ. Be saved. Don't argue with it. Just trust him. Obey him. Trust him. Just do it. So proving God's a fact. It's a challenge. It's a fine. And it's in an argument, don't argue, just do it. As a branch, we must keep the channel open from the vine. Obey God and not worry about the results, he tells us. Just prove God. This is a problem that bothers me more so now than maybe years ago. Because I study so hard and I try to teach so well. And many times, I can't see what God sees. I don't see if you're getting this tonight or not. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you listening, and I realize this. And I have a Easter teacher years ago. I think about you folks who heard me. And Brother John said, I'm in 1,000 messages he'd heard me preach. And I used to listen to that history teacher. He's a great teacher, but he put me asleep every time in his class. And all he'd do is just, he'd start out, he's saying words, just a steady hum with words. You ever seen someone like that? Now, once in a while, he'd have to say, class, wake up. Looks like he knows something wrong to have to say that, doesn't he? And he'd start again, and he'd start out just a solid hum of words. And I think sometimes, you know, people hear long enough, they get in that humming stage. But then God showed me something. What's happening, I can't even see. And I can see that as our sister the other night left. I preached a message on faith. When we led to the Lord's, Sister Angelie, she said, preacher, thank you for that. Said, I have never heard a message on faith before just like that. It blessed my heart. See, many may not have heard that, but she did. She needed it. And it blessed my heart to come back. Two others came and said some things about it too. And I wonder sometimes, you know, if anything's happening, but it always is. As a branch, we have to keep the channel open. People today want prosperity to precede relationship. But God says, honor me first. Then he will surpass our hopes and our thoughts. So there's four elements in proving God. Proving God is a fact. It's a challenge. It's a season. There's a time. It's now. And the answer to the argument is proving God is, don't argue, just believe, just trust him. And I read a story recently. It amazes how I read this. A few weeks ago, I was kind of down a little bit, and I was talking to Barbara, And I picked up a book. I don't even know why. This particular book in my office. And I got a lot of books, and I didn't write them, but I picked up this book, and I read this story at this time while I was a little bit depressed. And the story was by Evangelist Stanley Jones. He said one day after a series of messages he preached, he was exhausted. And he said he went outside and laid under an apple tree. And just laid there, and he said, seemed like while he was meditating on the Lord and what was being accomplished in his life and things were happening, he said, under that apple tree, it seemed like God said to me, you're tired, aren't you, Stanley? And he says, I said to myself, yes, Lord. You worked pretty hard the last few weeks, haven't you, Stanley? Yes, Lord. You studied pretty hard, haven't you? Yes, Lord. You're kind of depressed, aren't you? He said, yes, Lord. He said, kind of don't have much patience with what you're doing, do you? He knew what he was talking about. He said, patient with who? With people that I've led you to teach before? He said, yes, Lord. He said, the patience call, you don't see a lot of response in it. And he said, I said to myself, I was in my mind as he's thinking these thoughts. He said, yes, Lord, I reckon that's it. He said, see that apple tree you're laying under? Now, God didn't speak to him in words like I'm speaking to you, but these thoughts came to his mind. In essence, God was speaking to him. He speaks into your spirit sometimes. Or you don't tell me. There have been times that I've been down, and all of a sudden something would take place, and I'd be like jet fuel. Amen. It just sets you up and keeps you going. And he said, see that apple tree there? He said, yes, sir. He's talking to himself now as he thinks these thoughts. He said, in order for that apple tree to produce, you don't see it. It just quietly sits there and produces. Now, there is a tree trunk, and there's a branch. And there's no vine there, but there's a branch. And everything comes through that apple tree has come from that trunk to that branch to that apple. Now, it takes time to do that. And Satan began to think. He quietly gives its life, he said, to the branches. And then the fruit comes. The fact that it gives its life the way it's made, the fruit comes. The trunk didn't say to the branch, bear fruit now. It won't do that. There's a process. There's a means. There's a time. There's an element involved in God's creation. And he said, the fruit comes. And then he said, he went to John and these words came to his mind. He says, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Keep up what you're doing. You can't produce any fruit in your own anyhow. I'm the vine, you're the branches. The branch can't produce one bit of fruit without the vine. So therefore, if the branch is doing what it should do connected to the vine, sooner or later the fruit's going to come. Don't make it come because you get artificial when you do that. You get false fruit. And here I am now, boy. Whew, it's just building up in me. I'm really out of a depressed state right now. Reading this testimony of a man who'd been through where I was at years ago. And here he said, as you look at that apple tree, it's not a vine, but you think about fruit. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Keep up what you're doing, and I'll produce the fruit in my own way, in my own time. And suddenly I can't tell you how I felt. Because what that says to me, son, as I thought myself now, son, you don't know what individuals are facing with. I do. You don't know where that's setting the groundwork for later work, or you build on the grounds already there. I do. When I give that out, you do what you're supposed to do. When you're supposed to do it, whether you see any sign whatsoever, but keep in mind, I am always working. I have said my word will not return unto me. It accomplished where I've sent it. It'll never be void. And I know where every individual is at. And when they get what I want them to get from what you say, they will grow thereby and fruit will be produced. That's the reason now Barbara and I meet people who years ago our ministry cross, and they'd come back at times and she'd tell you, say, I'm amazed how God did for me years ago under the message that was preached, under the counsel, you get those things that happened. And a young lady, since we've been in this building, come to me and sat across my desk and said, preacher, if I'd have listened to you, and she said to years ago, if I'd have listened to you, I wouldn't be in the mess I'm in right now. Married, divorced, now had a child out of wedlock. World crumbled. You have no idea who I'm talking about, so don't try to start guessing. And she said, if I just listened to the time, the counsel, and the messages, I wouldn't be where I'm at now. That's what God's talking about. It might not have changed the individual at the time, but God said, I gave him the opportunity because you were faithful. Listen, teacher, if you're teaching a class, when you're teaching a class, teenage boys, young girls, ladies, whatever it is, when you're teaching and you know you spent some time with God and you're proving God for the fact he's going to give you what's needed and you teach that, it may seem like nothing has happened. You may have one in there get upset and tear you up when you leave. But God said, you be faithful to what I'm telling you. Prove me. Just prove me. And I'll do things for your ministry. You may not see them now, but one day when you get to heaven and that book of remembrance comes up, you're going to see a lot of things happen. Just feel the place where God has put you to feel the best of your ability. Prove him. And he says, I'll open the windows of heaven. When it comes to tithing, when it comes to other things, I'll do what I said I'd do. Just prove me. Prove me now. Prove me now. Father in heaven, I want to thank you, Lord, for the study of this book. I thank you, Father, for the blessed word that you preserve for us these days. Now again, as we finish this day, it's been a good day, Lord. Thank you for the people who came back tonight, knowing the storm's coming through. Thank you for those who sit so attentive and listen. And may someone here tonight be blessed to go out and say tomorrow, Lord, I don't like the situation I'm in. But somehow or another, you must have put me here. And I want to prove you that I'll be the best Christian I can be in these circumstances for the glory of God. And when I do that, I'll bring glory to you. I might get some oppression on my side. It might be that I would feel some slander on my side. But Lord, if I be what I need to be for you, you'll be honored, you'll be glorified, and that's exactly what I want to do in my life. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for that until we see you face to face. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.